All right, let's go. Dego machana Ephraim for Parshas Kisetze, Tavshanayin Tess. The Pasuk says, Kisivna bayis chadosh vasisa maka ligagecha. This week's Parsha Kisetze has the most mitzvos of any of the Parshas of the Torah. And Chazal spend a lot of time connecting, trying to explain how one Pasuk connects to the Pasuk that follows. But sof kol sof, it's a lot of mitzvos. So, if you build a new house, it's Perek Chav Beis Pasuk Ches. If you build a new house, so then Asisa Maka L'Gagecha, you should make a fence for your roof. Why do you need a fence for your roof? So no one falls off the roof. Lo Sasim Dama B'Vesecha. We'll actually see in Avodah Zarah, Daf Gimel today, that in ancient days, unlike many of our roofs, roofs were flat. People would often build their sukkahs on the rooftops, as we'll see today. And therefore, the roof was a usable space. And if people are hanging out on the roof, so we want to make sure no one falls off the roof. So the Torah gives us a command, a real mitzvah, to build a protective fence on your roof. Says the Degel Machane Ephraim, let's take a look. Kisivna bayis chadash vasisa maka legagecha. He says, Yesh lomar al derech remes. Just like we learned last week, again, obviously the Degel Machane Ephraim knows and understands that the parshios that we read at a given time of the year are connected to the time of the year. Right? So we're reading this close to Rosh Hashanah for a reason. So he says, B'derech Remez, it's coming to teach us Al Yom HaMishpat. The Bayis Chadash, the new home that you're building, is what? Is the new year that you're building. It's alluding to the Yom HaMishpat, Shehu Rosh Hashanah. V'hinei yadua ki zeh hayom tchilas maisav yisbarach shamo. Because we know that this day, Rosh Hashanah, is what is the beginning of creation. As we learned earlier in the week from the Or Gedaliel, what's the source? Rosh Hashanah Chav Zayin Amar Aleph. When we say, Hayom Harasalam, Zeh Hayom Tchilas Ma'asecha, this is the day. This is the day where it all began. A reference to Aleph Tishrei, that's Rabbi Eliezer's Shita. So it's a Bayis Chadash. Rosh Hashanah is the beginning of building a new house. Kisivna Bayis Chadash, when you build a new house. Uvechol Rosh Hashanah Nischadesh Ha'olam V'shavim Kol Advarim L'Mekoram. And every year on Rosh Hashanah, right, as we know from so many Svarim, the Jewish calendar is not linear, but it's circular. Which means when you come to Rosh Hashanah, it's mamish, the same energy that existed on the first, on the sixth day of creation, the first day of man's life, Adam HaRishon's creation. Aleph Tishrei. The world is literally being rebuilt again. And a Jew who taps into that can tap into that. So everything is returning limikoram, to the makor, to the source. And the essence of the day awakens or arouses that feeling every Rosh Hashanah. So let's understand the rest of the pasuk. We got the first part, kisivna bayis chadash, right? We're thinking in this week's parsha about building a new house, as we should. We're building a new year, tafshin pei. But what does it have to do with putting the fence on the roof? The way the Shlach HaKadosh learns this pasuk, the Shlach HaKadosh writes in his Musar section that the Maka L'Gagecha, which part of you is your roof? I guess your head. What does it mean to put a fence around your roof? Even if you're a really smart guy, don't be a Balgaiva. Make sure you control. A lot of ways you could say about fencing in your head. Right? But make sure, you know, even if you're an intellectual genius, sometimes people who are very smart can get themselves into a lot of spiritual trouble. So make sure you fence in your roof. But explains the Degel Machane Ephraim, B'zei Yishlomar Shemru Mezkan. Perhaps what it's hinting to here is Kisivna Bayis Chadash, when you build a new house, Hainu B'Rosh Hashanah, Kishemagia Ha'eis Lis'orer, Sheyibane Ha'olam Binyan Chadash, when the time has come to build the world new, build the world over once again. As Tira, you should be careful, you should make sure, Tira, make sure to see to it, that what? Vasisa Maka Ligagecha. Says the Degel Machane Ephraim, what's the gematria of Maka? Mem Ayin Kuf Hei. Some Chassidus Shesvarim do a lot of Ramazim, a lot of gematrias, some do very few. Some do somewhere in the middle, I would put the Degel Machane Ephraim somewhere in the middle. So we will see gematrias. What's the gematria of Mem Ayin Kuf Hei? 215. Okay. We mentioned in the past there's a concept called kolel, which means you can be off by one. So he says, Maka with the kolel is 216. which is the gematria of the word gevura. And that's exactly what a makkah is. Again, if we look back on the board, you have chesed on the right and gevura on the left. Right? The left side is always midas hadin. Again, in the personalities, Avraham is chesed. Tell me about Avraham's fences. He didn't have fences. His tent was open on all sides. Tell me about Yitzchak. Yitzchak was a person who lived within the fence. He never left Eretz Yisrael. He was tied down at a Kedas Yitzchak. Right? He was blind, okay? He was limited in his view, his vision. So that's all makkah. That's all forms of makkah. And that's what gevura is. Right? Gevura is not beating someone up outside of myself. Ezu gevura kovashis yitzro. Gevura is being able to pull together the pieces of my life. That's why Yitzchak was very limited in his travels, limited in his vision, limited in his movements. It's all gevura. So therefore, basiso makkah, you should make a fence. What does that mean? Makkah is gematria gevura. And gagecha, what's the gematria of gagecha? Gimel gimel chaf is 26. That's Hashem's name of kindness, of chesed. So what does it mean you should make a makkah legagecha? You should make a fence for your roof. You should combine gevura with chesed. So if you remember, we learned last week, sometimes you don't know what's right and what's left. You don't know what's chesed, what's din. You don't know what's a good opportunity, what's a bad opportunity. Sometimes you think this is a great opportunity and it turns out to be disastrous. You think this is a major setback and it's actually the beginning of a new path for you. It's a new derech. It's a new derech, which has a lot to do with Chodesh El. Arizal says that Elul is Hanosein Bayam Derech. It's a pasuk in Navi. Hanosein Bayam Derech. Charting a new path through the water. It's a bayis chadash. It's a new path. It's a new derech. Right? Yazov Rasha Darko. A Rasha should abandon his old derech and find for himself a new derech. And that's why, as we begin the slichos of Yom Kippur, the night of Yom Kippur, in the Chazar Sashas, one of the first piyutim that we say on Yom Kippur, which is the culmination, I guess, in a certain sense of this whole process, we say the piyut or the tefillah of Darkecha Elokeinu. It's the way of you, Hashem. Darkecha. It's your way, Hashem, to have mercy and to control your anger. Hashem, you restrain your anger. That's Hashem's darkecha. We want to get onto Hashem's derech. Not really for now, but I'll just tell you very quick. B'nai Sasser says that darkecha, the gematria of darkecha is 724, because chaf sofit could be 500. So darkecha is 724. So darkecha is actually, I realized this morning, is gematria of bayis chadash, a new house. Because my old house was built on my derech, it was my way. But now I want to get onto Hashem's derech. That's the whole avot during these days. Ya'azov rasha darko v'ish oven machshavosav. I want to abandon my old way of thinking, my old derech, and I want to go on your derech, Hashem. That's the bayis chadash I want to build. So says the Degel Machane Ephraim, what does it mean? Again, makkah is gematria gevura, and gagecha is gematria yudkei vavkei. What it means is, v'hainu, shetira lishatef gevura v'chesed. I want to bring together gevura and chesed. Like we learned last week in Degel Machane Ephraim, like some of us learned Tuesday night in Avodas Pnim, right? We always try to find the chesed within the gevura. We try to attach chesed to gevura. Here it sounds like I'm attaching gevura to chesed. But it's the same thing. Meaning, by building that gevura, by building that makkah around my gagecha, which is the chesed, the name, the gematria of Hashem's name of chesed, the bottom line is I want to bring them together. The shatev gevura v'chesed, to bring together gevura and chesed, lahamtik ha-gevura u'lahapech midas hadin l'midas harachim. Because when you bring them together, which hand is stronger, the right hand or the left hand? For most people, the right hand. And therefore, when I put them together, which one is going to, so to speak, have a greater control over the other one? The stronger hand will dominate the weaker one. So whenever I can take a gevura and attach it to a chesed, the chesed will control the gevura. It'll soften the gevura. It'll lessen the midas hadin. Remove some of that midas hadin. What did you say? The right hand is chesed. Right hand is Avram is chesed. Left hand is Yitzchak is gevura. Avram holy to Yitzchak. Avram has to lead the way. The right hand has to dominate the left hand. That's why you see some people stand during davening, they place their right hand over their left hand. And jackets also button right over left. The right has to always be dominant over the left side. Okay? So the goal is to bring together chesed, to bring together chesed and gvura. It's interesting. I'll tell you something interesting. Every month, we spoke about, has the name of Hashem. Every month has a letter. Every month has an action. We spoke about Masa for the month of Elul. Every month has a body part. It doesn't say for Yetzira. Every month has a body part. What's the body part for the month of Elul? Yeah, it's the left arm. Left hand. It's the left hand. The left hand? Hello. Left hand is Gvura. But let's think for a second. What is Hashem doing to us throughout Chodesh El, and even more explicitly when we get to Tishrei? We say all the time, we say it this morning when we say Tachton on Monday and Thursday. We talk about what? HaKadosh Baruch Hu opens his hand b'tshuva, poseach yad b'tshuva, and more than that, yemincha pshuta, your right hand is outstretched, lekabel shavim. In other words, the right hand is trying to like reach out to meet up with the left hand. That's what he's saying here. I want the right and the left to meet up, because if the right and the left meet up, the chesed will dominate the gvura. So yemincha pshuta, the yemin Hashem, right? Like we say in Az Yashir, yemincha Hashem, yemincha Hashem. We want it to be a double yemin. We want the right hand to stretch itself out and to, so to speak, transform the midas hadin of the left hand into chesed. So the B'nai Yisrael says, if you spell out Yamin Hashem, you spell out the letters, so Yud is Yud Vav Dalid, right? Mem, Yamin, I'm spelling the word Yamin. Yamin. So Yud is Yud Vav Dalid, Mem is Mem Mem, Yud is Yud Vav Dalid, Nun is Nun Vav Nun. If you spell out Yamin Hashem, the B'nai Yisrael says it's Gematria Rachamim, 298. Because what it's not Chesed, it's Rach. What is Rachamim? Rachamim is the blend of Chesed and Din, right? Rachamim is in the middle, that's Yaakov Avinu. A balance. Avram is just like all Chesed. Avram will open his tent to anyone and everyone. Yitzchak is Gvura. Yaakov strikes the balance between the two. So Chodesh Elul says Sefer Yetzirah is the left hand, right? But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, is trying to grab it with his right hand. And when they meet, says the B'nai Yisrael, when you spell out Yamin Hashem, is Gematria Rachamim. When the right hand extends itself by spelling out the letters, it becomes Rachamim. However, that's always the Avodah. The Avodah is always to try to find, to bring together Chesed with Midas Adin, because Chesed will always win in that way. And when a person, again, like some of us learned on Tuesday night, when you're going through a difficulty, don't be so quick to judge it. Sometimes it looks like it's a bad situation. Give it a little time to expand itself, and you'll see it might be a tremendous chesed hiding inside. Okay? All right, there's a lot more I want to tell you, but let's keep going. Yeah, quick comments.
What was that?
If you spell out Yamin Hashem, how are you spelling Hashem? The biggest way, 72. Okay, you guys, we'll work that out together. Of the four ways to expand Hashem's name, we learned about 45 last week. The biggest one is 72. So it's the biggest expansion of Hashem. Yamin Hashem, fully expanded, is Gematria Rachamim. Because when the right hand could reach out and grab the Jew, you know, the left hand, so to speak, and they come together, so then Rachamim. Then there's the healthy blend. Again, Chesed can be dangerous. Too much Chesed, if you do too much Chesed to a person who's not worthy of Chesed, then they'll take advantage of you. And if you're too tough, if you're too much Midas Adin, also not going to work. That's why we're called B'nai Yisrael, or Yaakov Avinu, the balance. Titein emes li Yaakov. Emes is something that lasts. Avram, that derech can't last. Yitzchak can't fully last. Avram has a bad son, Yishmael. Yitzchak has an Esav. Yaakov has 12 children who walk the derech. All 12 of his kids are from. They're not perfect, but they're all able to be authentic Jews, and that's why we're called B'nai Yisrael, B'nai Yaakov. Okay? All right, let's go to the piece. Let's turn the page. I imagine. Turn the page. Vayafoch Hashem Elokecha lecha es haklal levracha. Tell me if you see it. Vayafoch. Another small piece. See a few small pieces today. Each one very beautiful. Vayafoch Hashem Elokecha zaklal lebracha. You got it? Okay, it says, seems a little random in this week's parasha. Of course, nothing's random, you have to just work it out. You know why the parasha seems random? You know why it seems like so crazy? It's just like Hashem like throwing mitzvahs at us, like random mitzvahs. Again, Chazal worked to say, no, this follows this, this follows this. Let's just go through Rashi in this week's parasha, you'll see it. But you know why it looks random? How does our parasha end? How does Ki Tetzeh end? The parasha ends with Parsha Zachar. Remember what Amalek did to you. What did the Amalek do to you? Asher karcha baderach. Amalek is always the one who's mikra, his happenstance. Right? So sort of the way that we fight Amalek through the Parsha is by showing, no, there's nothing random about the Parsha. Everything is precise. There's nothing random here. Okay? But again, to the untrained eye, it seems a little random. And it describes in the Parsha how HaKadosh Baruch Hu overturned the curses of Bilam. Listen to the Pasuk. I'll read you the Pasuk. It's Perachav Gimel Pasuk Vav. V'lo ava Hashem Elokecha l'shmoa el Bilam. This is the pasuk we're going to read now. Right? Hashem didn't want to listen to Bilam. V'yafoch Hashem Elokecha l'cha asaklal lebracha. And Hashem transformed for you the curse into a blessing. Ki ahevcha Hashem Elokecha. Bilam's curse didn't work. Says the Degel Machon Ephraim, which word looks a little bit excessive, extra? V'yafoch Hashem Elokecha l'cha asaklal lebracha. Why do you need the word l'cha? God transformed for you. I mean, we know who we're talking to. It could have just said, Vayafoch, Hashem turned around, Esaklal lebracha, the curse into a blessing. What do you mean, lecha? Why did it say lecha? So he has a nice little Torah. I want to show you different ideas. The Degel Machon Ephraim has different styles. Hinei tevas lecha miyutar. The word lecha seems extra. V'yishlomer b'derech pshat. I'll give you a pasha pshat. A pasha pshat is, Hinei yadua kol ha-mavarech misbarech. We know from the Gemara in Maseches Sota that the Gemara tells in Sota Daf Lamed Ches that a Kohen who blesses will be blessed. And that's true in general. Anyone who brings bracha upon others, the bracha bounces back to you. So let's think about Bilam for a second, says the Degel Machon Ephraim. What did Bilam bring upon the Jewish people? Bracha. What did he want to bring? Klalab. What did he bring? Bracha. So maybe Bilam, because he indirectly blessed us, should be the recipient of bracha as well. Kol ha-mevarech, anyone who blesses, misbarech, should be blessed. Says the Degel Machon Ephraim, absolutely not. Vayachol liton, you might claim, v'lomar, kevan shemikil alaso shel Bilam nasu brachos, since Bilam's curses wanted to say, like we learned in Tosfos, in Avodah Zarah, kal shemdu, he turned it into what? Melech, truas melech bo. So, Bilam, wow, you said amazing things about the Jewish people. So maybe Bilam should be the recipient of Hashem's bracha. Nimsa shahaya Bilam begeder mevarech v'yisbarech gamkein. So therefore, Bilam should be seen as a blesser who is therefore worthy of receiving blessing as well. So therefore, look how Hashem writes the Torah so precisely, says the Degel Machon Ephraim. Lezeh dikdik mekor hachachma. Therefore, the source of wisdom, meaning the Torah, Hashem. Be'imros of hatahorim. Hashem, with his very clear and precise teachings, says what? Vayahafoch lecha. When Hashem turned the curses into bracha, he did so what? For us. But Hashem didn't turn his curses into a bracha in a way that would benefit him. Bilam's not going to get credit for indirectly blessing the Jewish people. Vayahafoch lecha, says the pasuk. Hashem converted, turned over for you. You know why Hashem did that? Because Hashem loved you. But Hashem doesn't want Bilam to then claim. We just learned it in Maseches Avodah Zarah. Don't come at the end of days and start going, oh no, I did it for Klal Yisrael. No, you didn't. Shoytim Shebaolam. Right? Fools and liars, according to some, the way we learned it. Ki ahevcha Hashem lokecha, Hashem loves you, says the pasuk. Aval zulascha yechoshe bechlal mekalalim. Right? But the other one, in this case Bilam, is considered what? Is still considered a curse, one who cursed, and therefore he will be cursed. We can't give Bilam the indirect credit for blessing the Jewish people. Okay, nice pasuk pshat. Again, picking up on one little word, lecha, in the pasuk. Yeah.
Is it possible this is true because by a lotus profile, we would consider matzah with twice a dummy?
Right, right. Exactly. That's right. By the umas ha'olam, Hashem is strict with them in a negative sense. He'll punish them for bad intentions. Right? But by the Jewish people, Hashem looks only at the good intentions and what happens lemaisa in terms of what we did. Right? But he won't. The fact that Bilam had bad intentions, even though his action turned out to be good, he still held account of us. Absolutely correct. Yeah. Okay. Here's a really geschmack part. And this is a real Chodesh Elul Vark, because you hear a lot of Musar Shu's in an Elul, and everyone's trying to, you know, find something to inspire them in Elul. So the Pasuk describes the purity, the sanctity of the Jewish camp. When a camp goes out against your enemies, you shall guard against anything evil. If there will be among you a man who will not be clean because of a nocturnal occurrence, he shall go outside the camp. He shall not enter the midst of the camp. When it will be toward evening, he shall immerse himself in the water. When the sun sets, he may enter the midst of the camp. Okay? And then the Pasuk says, you should have a place outside the camp, and to it you shall go out. Meaning, somewhere to go to the bathroom. That's what it's talking about. Okay. And then the Pasuk says, and this is the Pasuk that we're about to do, the next piece, V'yaseid tiyeh lecha al azeinecha, v'haya b'shivtecha chutz, v'chafarta, v'chisisa es tse'asecha. You should have a yaseid. What's a yaseid? A shovel. Al azeinecha, in addition to your weapons. Right? A soldier out on the battlefield, bring a shovel with you. What do I need a shovel for? You need a shovel to maintain a certain sanctity, and probably also something very practical in terms of hygiene. Bring along a shovel, along with your weapons, so that v'ahaya b'shivtecha chutz, when you need to go outside, in other words, when you need to relieve yourself, what should you do? V'chafarta, you should dig a hole in the ground. You should relieve yourself. V'chisisa esei osecha, then you can cover over your excrement. Okay? Right? You would think, a person on the battlefield, you know, he doesn't have time to worry about this type of cleanliness. But no, a Jew has to have this type of sensitivity. Bring along a shovel. Okay? Says the Degel Machon Ephraim. Amazing part. Look what he says. What does it mean? You should have a yaseid al azeinecha. Yesh lomer haremez bezeh. Shetihye yaseid tekua lecha al azeinecha. What's a yaseid? We said it's a shovel. Right? Elsewhere in the Tanakh, yaseid means a peg. Like when Sisera got a peg in his head, it's called a yaseid. Right? So you should have a yaseid al azeinecha. Now I told you in context here, azeinecha means your weapons. What does it sound like? Your ears. You should have a yaseid, you should have some type of shovel that is connected to your ears. What does that mean? Bring some Q-tips to clean out your ears once in a while? What does that mean? Hainu shetehe tekua belibcha masha shamata eze divrei Torah umusar. Yaseid is a peg, right? A peg is used to hold something in place. So sometimes what happens is we learn a nice idea and we say, wow, that's a really nice idea. And then you know what happens a minute later? In one ear and out the other ear. You don't hold on to it. So says the Torah, v'yaseid tiyeh lecha al azeinecha. You should be able to what? You should be able to pin it to your ears. If you hear something inspiring, if you learn a new halacha, right? So hold on to it. Make sure you apply it. Make sure you live it. That it should be what? That the Divrei Torah should be what? Takua belibcha, he says. They should be what? They should be stuck into your heart. V'haya b'shivtecha chutz, says the Pasuk, that way when what? When sometimes you find yourself outside, you start to stray a little bit, you're having a tough week, if you remember how you felt, or if you can draw on the ideas that you heard a week earlier, when you were feeling inspired, when you're sitting outside, when you feel disconnected from the camp, so to speak, the Jewish camp, when you're doing aveira and you feel disconnected because of it, azai, what can you do? V'chafarta, you can dig deep. And what do you dig up? V'tivkas advar mahem, And you what? And you'll bring forth. Tivka means to burst, right? But the words will burst through. There'll be that breakthrough, so to speak. You'll be able to draw on it because you held on to it. V'simsa behem chaye ruchacha lahashiv es nafshacha. And then you're able to what? You're able to restore your soul, to re-energize yourself, to breathe new life into your spirit, into your being. And then v'chesisa es se'asecha. And hopefully that burst of kedusha will be able to what? To cover over your excrement. Will be able to cover over those unholy moments, those embarrassing moments. But if I don't hold on to it, if I don't save it for when I need it, right? Sometimes you hear something and you say, I'm not sure what to do with that idea right now. But find a way, put it somewhere. Find a compartment in your mind or in your heart and store it there. Because maybe at some later time, you'll be able to absorb it. It's called Rebbe Zvart. Where are the words? You should place it on your heart. Says the custom be alavecha. Why on my heart? Why not in my heart? So the Katzker Rebbe says, because sometimes the heart is not open, it's not ready to receive. So you know where you should put it? Put it on your heart. Store it on top of your heart. It's not going to penetrate right now. But at some point, what's going to happen? There's going to be a Shviras Halev. There's going to be a breaking of the heart. There's going to be an opening of the heart. And if that thing, so to speak, is crouching at the doorway of the heart, so as soon as you have that openness, all of a sudden, what? That idea drops in. That's what it means, place it on your heart. Halavai, it should be in your heart. But if you can't take it in your heart, at least keep it close by. Because it could be at some later point. It could be at some point later on, right? All of a sudden, you're going to dig up that idea and say, oh, now's the time to actually apply that idea to my life, to be able to live that idea. I want to tell you two insights and one story on this idea. Okay? First, another letter. I read you a letter earlier this week from Rav Huttner in the Pachad Yitzchak. Here's a letter from 1976. Rav Yitzchak Huttner writing to one of his students. It's one of my favorite letters. It's letter number 155, Kuf Nun Hei, in the Igros Pachad Yitzchak, the letters of Rav Yitzchak Huttner. Rav Huttner says, I got your letter. He's writing back to someone who obviously wrote to him. He says to his student, I got your letter, and I'll tell you, I'm very inspired by your letter. Why am I so inspired by your letter? He writes to this student, he says, when I got your letter, now I understand what David HaMelech was saying. What does he mean? He says, David HaMelech says in Tehillim, Lichu banim shimuli. What does it mean? Go, my children, shimuli, and listen to me. So Rav Huttner said, I never understood this pasuk. Why would I tell someone to go if I want them to listen to me? Right? If I say, Dov, I want to talk to you. Right? So I say, Dov, can you come here for a second? I want to speak to you. I don't say, well, Dov, can you go to the other side of the street because I want to talk to you? Luchu, go over there because I want to talk to you? That makes no sense. I should say, come here. So what's lichu banim? Go and listen to me. Go away and listen to me. Let me go away and listen to me. So Rav Huttner says, what it means is that sometimes bishasha dibar hu mechuvan al banim. Sometimes when you're speaking to someone straight, face to face, they're right there, they're present, they're right in front of you. Yesh na hecha timsa kazu shedafka haalicha lemercha kim molidas hashmiya. Sometimes when you're present, at the moment you first heard it, you weren't able to hear it. And only after you go, you travel down the road of life, all of a sudden, now you start to hear it. Now you start to get it. It's what the Gemara says in Avodah Zarah, that sometimes it takes 40 years for a person to understand what the Rebbe said. 40 years later, he'll say, that's what my Rebbe meant. Now I finally get it. Now I'm older, I'm wiser, I have more life experience. Now I really get it. Now I really get it. Right, what that Torah idea was trying to say. I thought I understood it. I was a kid when I first heard it. That's not what it really means. So Rav Huttner says, sometimes you talk to someone straight, they can't absorb it. And it's only after halicha lemer chakim, when they go a great distance, that creates the shmia. So says Rav Huttner, I'm getting a letter from you. He says to the Talmud, he says, basically when you were in yeshiva, you like weren't into the learning. I couldn't get through to you. You know, I tried so many different ways to try to like get you to like open up to learning, and when you left yeshiva, like you weren't such a learner. But now you're writing me this letter, says Rav Huttner, You're saying, Rebbe, I'm learning so much, and I'm davening with Kavana, and I'm doing so great, and he writes this whole long letter to Rav Avner telling him how great he's doing. So Rav Avner says, now I understand. L'chu banam shimuli. All those seeds that I planted in yeshiva, right, are finally starting to sprout. Now that halachtu pisom niftachu aznecha l'mafreya. Now that you went, your ears have retroactively become open. So that's what the Dagon Malchut and Ephraim is saying also. Make sure you hold on to the ideas, even if you absorbed it now, but even if you didn't absorb it now. Make sure you hold on to the idea, because you never know, somewhere down the road, maybe you'll actually be able to dig up this idea, and it'll be able to help you. That's Aleph. Okay? Beis, there's a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. There's a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos that says, Al Tomar, it's in the second parak of Avos. Al Tomar, that's here. That's here. Okay, Al Tomer Davar, very good. He's our expert on Pirkei Avos. If you don't know about it, now you do. Al Tomer Davar She'iyav Shal Yishmoa She'sofa Li'yishama. What's the Pasha Psha? What does it mean? Don't say something, She'iyav Shal Yishmoa, which cannot be understood now, with the hope that you'll understand it later. Meaning I shouldn't say something confusing to you and say, right, something that you don't understand now, with the hope that maybe in 5 years from now you'll know what I meant. I should speak clearly to you. If I have an idea I want to convey, I shouldn't speak in a way that confuses you. Don't say something without a clarity with the hope that, maybe later the person will get it. That's very dangerous. Because maybe they won't get it, and maybe they'll go their whole life with their misunderstanding of what you were trying to say. So, Al Tomer, don't say, Davar She'ef Shar Lishmoa, don't say something that the person's not ready to hear, with the hope that maybe later they'll hear it. Okay? Yeah, we could argue the opposite. Rav Avner told us the opposite. But there's a way to read this Mishnah the same way that Rav Avner explained L'chu banim shimuli. Right? And even more than that, Rav Avner was teaching with the hope he would absorb it now, and he didn't get it, and he got it later. Sometimes it is appropriate to teach someone something that you know they can't get it now, with the hope that they're going to be able to get it later. Mamash the opposite of the Pashup Shad in this Mishnah. Again, the Pashup Shad in the Mishnah is don't tell someone something now with the hope that maybe down the road they're actually going to get it. Speak clearly to them now. But some actually read this Mishnah the exact opposite. And this comes from a sefer on Pirkei Avos called Lahoros Nasan, Rav Nasan Gestetner. He's a big gon, lived in Bnei Brak, passed away not that long ago. Met him one time, went to his tremendous gene in Torah, wrote many, many volumes of Shalos and Chuvos called Lahoros Nasan. He has on Pirkei Avos, on Shas, many, many Svarim. They're still printing his Ksavim, lots and lots and lots of Chidushim. So he writes on this Mishnah, Pirkei Avos, he quotes from a sefer called Shevet Mi Yehuda in Parshas Mitzora. There's a lot of Sfarim called Shevet Mi Yehuda, so I'm not sure which one. And he quotes from Rav Hillel of Kalamya, that one time, Eich Shochiach Poshe Yisrael Echad V'naso Imo. One time he gave Musar to some Jew who was a mamash off the derech. He was giving him like this whole Musar smooth while they were traveling. They must have been on a train or a wagon together, whatever it was. Va'omer acher kach, and then he said afterwards, Yodea ani ki lo nichnasu devarai la'ozne. I know la'ozne poshe. I know that the poshe is not ready to hear it. I know what I said to him. He was rolling his eyes at me the whole time. Okay, Rabbi, thank you so much. Shkayach, shkayach, shkayach. You should keep Shabbos. Shkayach, shkayach, shkayach. You should wear tefillin. Shkayach, shkayach. You know, shkayach is a nice way of saying, just be quiet. Yeah, lo yitav es darko. I know he's not listening. I know nothing I said to him registered right now. Umikol makom, said Rav Hillel of Kalamya, but I did it, you know why? Ki kasher yegia zmano v'yekarv l'misa, because maybe on his deathbed, he'll have a moment of, my life wasn't as meaningful as it could have been or should have been, and then, ziyala b'zichrona, maybe he'll remember many years ago I met that rabbi on the train, and he told me, this is usser, and that's usser, and you're going to get curries for this. And maybe, in those dying moments, he'll have a moment of charata, and he'll die mitoch tshuva. He'll die with a feeling of tshuva. So says Rav Nachman Gestetner, what do you see from here? Sometimes it is appropriate. Sometimes it's really not. You have to be careful. I want to be very careful about this. Sometimes it's really not appropriate to say something. But sometimes the right person with a certain depth can say something that he knows the person can't hear now, but hopes that somewhere down the road it'll work. So how do you read the Mishnah? Al Tomer, don't say Davar She'ef Shar L'shmoa. Not don't say something that can't be heard. Don't say that this Davar is E'ef Shar L'shmoa, that this thing cannot be heard. Because maybe, Sofa L'shama, maybe in the end he will hear it. Here it's mash the opposite of the mission. Opposite of the Pashup Shot. The Pashup Shot is don't say something that's not understood now with the hope that maybe someday the person will get it. But the deeper way to learn it, Rav Nachman says, is Al Tamar, don't say to yourself, Davar Shiyaf Shalishmo, this thing the person's not going to hear. You don't know. Maybe Sofa Lishama, maybe on their deathbed they'll hear it. Maybe they'll finally get it. What are you saying? Mamash opposite. And a person has to be a pikeach to know when to use which one. When to keep your mouth shut. And when to say, this guy wants it. Our oldest daughter is very good at this. Our oldest daughter, Gabrielle, is very good. She talks a lot to her friends. Like, they're very into talking to her about, like, things. She's like their therapist. But she's very good. She's very good. We sat on the couch last Friday night. She asked me, like, what should I say to this person? What should I say to that person? She's very good. She knows, like, you have to be careful when to say, when not to say, what to say, how to say. Right? Sometimes if you say, you hurt someone. Sometimes she kept saying, but this one girl, she's like, I know she wants it. I know she wants it. So I said, good, so say. She's going to say, no, I'm not ready. Say it to her. If you know she wants it, then say it to her. Because so for Lishama, down the road, she'll hear it. Maybe not today, you know, maybe in high school. Maybe not in high school, maybe in seminary. Maybe not in seminary, maybe in college. Maybe after she gets married. Who knows? Who knows at what point it's gonna register? Okay, so that's the second part I want to tell you. The story I want to tell you is an unbelievable story that I have to tell you. An amazing story that goes back to 1938 with Rav Aaron of Belz. Okay, Rav Aaron of Belz was one of the top people on the Nazis' hit list of rabbis they were trying to stop because he was an unbelievable tzaddik and had a tremendous ability to inspire people. In 1938, before the war, really took over. 1938, really before the war, destroyed, you know, many of the lives. So the Belzer Rebbe, it was 2 days before Yom Kippur. 2 days before Yom Kippur, 1938, and the local shochet, whose name was Meir, came with his son to be by the Belzer Rebbe for slichos. 2 days before Yom Kippur is usually when we recite the slichos, which is it's extra special because the pizmon of the slichos that day is the Yud Gimel Midos Shel Rachem. So it's like there's a lot of extra Yud Gimel Midos Shel Rachem on that day. It's considered a very halakha day. And the Belzer Rebbe had this whole thing that he used to do where he would light candles for different people. Ne'er Hashem Nishmas Adam, a candle is like a Jewish soul. The Belzer Rebbe would light different candles and have different kavanas for different people. So Meir, the shochet of the town, came with his 6-year-old son Baruch. So Baruch's a curious kid. The big close, he gets his father brought him along. He wanted to, you know, get a bracha, see the Belzer Rebbe, this close to Yom Kippur. But the kid was very curious about all the interesting things that the Belzer Rebbe is doing. So he started asking him, Rebbe, what's this candle? What's this candle? Who's this one for? Who's this one for? Who's this one for? He's asking about all the different candles. And the Gabbai's like, shah, shah, shah. The Belzer Rebbe's like, no, it's okay. This is for my Rebbetzin. This is for so-and-so. They need a refuah. This is for so-and-so. Going around. So the kid says to him, he says, who's this one for? 1938, the Belzer Rebbe says to him, he says, there's a place that's far away from here in America. It's called San Francisco. You probably never heard of it, says to the kid. You probably never heard of it. He says, but this candle is for a Jew in San Francisco who wants to draw close to a Kadosh Baruch. Okay? The Nazis come to town, Yimach Shemam V'Zichram. This little Baruch's whole family is wiped out. Somehow he survives the war. His Yiddishkeit is shattered, not interested in God, not interested in anything. He decides, that's it, marries a Goya, ends up coming to America. Yeah? 50 years go by, no shaykhis whatsoever to Judaism. He's living in San Francisco. And one day, doesn't know what day it is in terms of the Jewish calendar, one day he's walking down the street, and he passes a synagogue. Passes a shul. And he has like 50 years, married to a non-Jewish woman, he hasn't done anything in 50 years. All of a sudden he has this desire, I just want to go, you know, it's tugging, it's pulling him. He wants, he's like, I want to go in. He opens the doors, he walks in, and he's greeted by a sea of white. It was Yom Kippur. He didn't know, he had no idea it was Yom Kippur. He walks in, it's Yom Kippur. And he's standing there and he feels like, he's remembering what it was like, as you know. And he's like, who am I kidding, you know? I'm an old man now, like it's not shaykh. It's totally not shaykh. I'm not able to walk in now and stuff. And he's about to walk out of the shul, and as he's walking out of the shul, he notices, like on the ledge, he notices these candles burning. It was Ne'ilah time. It was late in the day. It was late Yom Kippur afternoon. And he sees these candles, and all of a sudden, a Jew in San Francisco who needs chizuk. In 1938, the Belzer Rebbe lit a candle and said to this kid, maybe one day there's going to be a Jew in San Francisco who wants to draw close to Hashem, and this candle is to illuminate his neshama. And nuts. And he turned around and he decided to stay, and he davened. And he davened. Now, I'm not sure what the end of the story is. I don't know if he divorced his wife and he's supposed to be tshuva completely. I'm not sure. It's from a sefer, Befikudecha Asicha. It's an unbelievable story, but it shows that sometimes you can plant a seed that's going to sprout 50 years later. So therefore, says the Degel Machaneh Ephraim, make sure you always have your shovel with you, because you never know. You never know when you're going to have to dig out that word of Musar, or that kind word that someone said 2 years before. Or remember, if you haven't believed in yourself in 50 years, that someone believed in me 50 years ago, and he needed to be ready to hear it. And he was able to attach himself to the Yom HaKadosh, Yom HaKippur. It's an amazing, amazing story. Okay, let's go on to the pieces on the Haftarah. I want to do two pieces on the Haftarah. Rani Akara Lo Yalad. Haftarah for Parshas Kiseitze. Let's see. V'nakdim levar al tiyu ka'avodim ha'meshamshim esarav almanas l'kabel pras. Elehevu ka'avodim ha'meshamshim esarav shalo almanas l'kabel pras. Okay. We know it says in Pirkei Avos that a person should serve Hashem like a servant who serves not for the reward. And right, like a person who serves Hashem shalom and asks the kabbal pras. Do it like an honest servant, and don't do it for the price. Don't serve God for the price. V'yesh girsa achrina. There's another girsa, there's another variation of the text that says what? Not shalo almanas l'kabbal pras, but rather almanas shalo l'kabbal pras. What's the difference? Look at the words again. Shalo almanas l'kabbal pras means what? I serve Hashem not for the reward, meaning I'm not focused on the reward. The reward will come on its own. That's how it appears in most editions of Pirkei Avos. But there is a girsa, Rabbeinu Yonah talks about in his commentary on Pirkei Avos, if I'm not mistaken. There is a girsa that's what? That says, almanas on condition shalo l'kabbal pras. That I don't want a reward. I don't want the reward. That's different. You hear the difference? The first way is, I'm not focused on the reward. Shalo almanas. I'm not doing it on condition for the reward. I'm doing it to serve Hashem the Shema. But I know the reward will come, and I'm happy to get the reward. The second version says, almanas on condition shalo l'kabbal pras. I'm serving you Hashem, but please don't give me the reward. What does that mean? Shemati mi'aduni avi zekeni zatzal. I heard from my halakha grandfather, the Baal Shem Tov. Sheshnei hagirsos nechonim. Both versions, both variants of the text are correct. And it's two different madregos in Avodas Hashem. The more standard girsa is the lower level, which is also a very chashuv level. Vehei madrego zo lamala mizo. It's one level on top of another level. Vehu ki shalo almanas l'kabel pras. Serving Hashem without a focus on the reward, not for the sake of the reward. Hu avod nechona gedola. It's a great thing. I mean, how often do we motivate ourselves, right, through the reward? And how often are we taught to motivate ourselves through the reward? Right? Incentivizing the learning. I feel like at our Rebbe meetings, we're talking about how can we incentivize the learning. Why should we have to incentivize the learning? Schar mitzvah mitzvah. That's the greatest reward I can give you. The fact that you have the opportunity to come to the Beis Medrash and learn Torah. I have to bribe you. I have to, like, you know, buy you a hamburger. But it works. And all your yeshivas probably did it in Eretz Yisrael. And it worked. It gets people learning. But shalom and ask the kabbal pras means what? I'm not focused on the reward. I want to reach a level where I'm not interested in the reward. I don't need the reward up front in order to motivate me. It's a vod nechonu gedol. It's a proper way and it's a lofty way. Dehainu. Let's look at it in the context of tefillah. Dehainu. Kesha mispalel al eiza davar, yiyeh kavanaso litzorech gavoa. When I daven, I should focus on Hashem. And I should know that afterwards, the reward will come. That's how our Shmona Esrei is arranged. I start off by singing the praises of Hashem, acknowledging Hashem's greatness, And then only afterwards, yeah, then I get into the bakashas. Right? That model is more along the lines of this. That when I daven, I focus on Hashem. I daven for lofty things, like tzarach gavoa. I daven, so to speak, with a focus on Hashem. Va'adav, Hashem mispa'al alav, im yavo yavo. And the specific thing that I'm asking for is not the main part of my davening. If it happens, it happens. If not, not. I would like it to happen. I'll admit it. Vim lo yavo, lo yavo. If it doesn't come, I'm also okay. Because I'm not focused on the reward. V'chein kol avodas ha'adam v'asiyosav yu'el l'shem shamayim lo l'shum davar hana'asa. And everything I do should be what? For the sake of heaven, l'shem shamayim, not for my own pleasure. Again, when I like it to work out, when I daven for parnasa, I would like to get the parnasa. But if it doesn't work out, I'm not so angry, I'm not so bitter. I wasn't so focused on it. Of course I want it to work out. Of course I want it to work out. And the fact that I could even focus on God and not focus on my need for it to work out is already a very big madriga. But there's a higher level. V'yesh od b'china niskava, there's an even higher level. Al derech mashal. L'mi shechofetz v'rotzem ha'od v'libo bor l'dabri im ha'melech. Imagine a person who wants so badly to have an audience with the king. The king says, I'm marrying off my daughter, and everyone can come before me and make a request. Saw that movie or no? No? Okay, fine. V'amelech gazer v'amar, sheko mi sheyishol eza she'ela v'akashoso yimalei. And the king says, anyone who comes before me and makes a request, I'll answer the request. U'kisha'odem azeh asher chefso ritzono l'dabir tomid imamelech. But there's one Jew, there's one person who says, wait a minute, I don't want the king to give me everything that I need. Because when the king gives me everything that I need, then the king is done with me. I want to have things that I need so I can keep coming back. And I want the king to keep saying no so I can keep coming back and talking to him. Because more than a thing, I want the relationship with the king. So therefore, this individual who wants to speak to the king, tamid, always, when it's his turn to come and request from the king, he's afraid. Maybe the king will give it to me for once. If the king gives it to me, then I'm not gonna be able to keep talking to the king. I have nothing to talk to him about. So in a certain sense, I don't want him to give it to me. There's a story with the Megala Mukos. The Megala Mukos was leaving his rabbinic post. He decided, I'm done here, I'm moving somewhere else. And then he decided to come back. So they asked him, why'd you want to leave? He said, it's a secret I can't say. They said, why'd you come back? He said, I'll tell you why I came back. He said, because of a particular din Torah. Let's see if I can get the story right. Anyone know this story? Because of a particular din Torah that I saw. And it convinced me that this is a place to stay. What was the din Torah? There was a fellow who used to stand on the corner selling bread every day to make a parnasa. You know what to say? There was a fellow who used to sell bread on the corner every day. So there was a wealthier Jew who saw him selling bread and he said, this is such a waste of your time. I'll give you money and then you're able to learn more and daven longer and not be so busy selling bread all the time. Right? Okay. Thank you so much. That sounds great. So what was the din Torah? The guy came to the Megala Mukos and said, I want out of the deal. After a period of time, the guy's supporting him in learning. He said, I don't want to do this deal anymore. Said, why not? You have this opportunity to learn so much more. So he says, no, you don't understand. He said, ever since this guy started supporting me, my tefillah is a disaster. I used to go out to my little, you know, corner with my little bread cart, and I start selling rolls, and I would dive and I'd say, Hashem, come on, please help me to, you know, help me to turn the bread into the bread, you know? Help me to make a parnassa. He said, but now I don't think twice about it. I have nothing to daven for anymore. This guy pays my bills. He takes care of everything. So the fellow who's supporting him says, but I want him to continue learning. And the guy says, no, but I don't want to be supported anymore because it's hurting my relationship with the Kaddish Baruch Hu. So Megala Mukos said that two people could have such a din Torah. One's fighting to get the other guy because he wants to help him to learn more. The other guy's saying, no, but it's hurting my relationship with Hashem. This is a din Torah. I mean, they're both Gavaldic Jews. So the Megala Mukos said, that's why I decided to stay. Why I wanted to leave is a secret I can't reveal, but that's why I decided to stay. Right? Because when we have everything that we need, we don't talk to Hashem anymore. When everything's perfect, then I have nothing to talk to Hashem about. The Kedushas Levi, the Berditchever, once got everyone together in shul. He called everyone to a meeting in shul. And he said, if you ever find that Hashem is not giving you nisyonos, come to the shul. He called a communal meeting, town hall meeting. He said to them very seriously, if you ever find that Hashem is not giving you nisyonos, you should come to shul. You should come to shul. You should walk up to the Aron Kodesh. You should stick your head in between the Torahs. And you should scream out to Hashem, why do you hate me? Why don't you trust me? Why don't you love me? Why don't you give me any nisyonos? Right? Why aren't you pushing me to grow, Hashem? Why don't you want me to talk to you? You're making everything so easy for me because you don't want to have a relationship with me. It's the Nachash who is cursed. You're going to have all the food in the world, dirt. You're never going to have to worry about finding something to eat. But as Rameir Premishlan and many other tzaddikim understand, it's the biggest curse in the world. Because Hashem was saying to the Nachash, you're going to eat dust all the days of your life, but don't talk to me ever again. So in the Mashal, says the Baal Shem Tov, a person who's given an invitation to ask anything he wants from the king says, I'm nervous that if the king gives it to me, then my relationship with the king is over. So you know what he asks for? What does he ask for? He's nervous, I'm not going to go to talk to the king. Lachain, who wrote to Yoser, Shelo Yemali Lo Mevukash Aso. He wants more than anything that the king will not grant his wishes. So he can keep coming back to the king. So that's the second girsa in Pirkei Avos. What's the first girsa? Don't focus on the reward. Of course you want the reward to actually be given to you. You want what you want to happen. But the even higher level is when a person says, I actually don't want it to happen. Al menas shelo lekabel pras. Hashem, I don't want rewards. I want the struggle. You want the struggle? Who wants the struggle? Yes, because when I struggle, I know that I feel closer to you. I know mi mamakim kerasicha Hashem. When I'm feeling down, when I'm in a low place, I cry out to you, Kadosh Baruch Hu. So Hashem, don't take away all the nisyonos. We daven every day. Hashem, don't bring me to nisyonos. In brachos, every morning we say that. Okay, that's the lower level. This is a very high level. To say, I don't want success in this world because I enjoy having to worry about the struggles of Olam Hazeh because that brings me closer to it. It's a very lofty level. But that's what it means, Tfila la'oni kiyatov, v'lifnei Hashem yishpoch sicho. Tfila la'oni, a prayer for the poor person. A person in need, what is he daven kiyatov? Lifnei Hashem yishpoch sicho. He davens that he should be able to pour out his siach, his conversation before Hashem. Perish. Kol ha'tfilos shel ani. The tefillah of the ani is not give me parnasa, give me what I need. The tefillah of the ani is what? Lifnei Hashem yishpoch sicho. Give me another opportunity to come and speak to you. V'hu al derach she'isa b'shas. And this is like the Gemara says in Tanis, with the mice of Shmuel HaKatan, where Shmuel HaKatan told the people that when they were desperate for rain, if it rains, you should realize it's not always such a bracha that it rains right away. That's Hashem's way of saying, I don't want to talk to you. Just take your rain and leave me alone. That's a very deep perspective. That a person says, if Hashem gives too many things too quickly, right, then Hashem's not interested in talking. Hashem made the Avos and the Imos wait a long time to have children because Hashem wanted them to keep talking to him. He loved the conversations with them. He didn't want to just say, you know, take the credit card, go buy what you need and leave me alone. So that's your level. So says the Degel Machon Ephraim, V'isa v'medrish, Yebucha akar v'akara, Shalo tehe tfilascha akara, Nimtza lishon akara etzel tfilah. Pasuk says, earlier in Devarim, that there shouldn't be akar v'akara, there shouldn't be anyone who's amongst you. No man or woman should struggle to have children, but the Medrash says is that your tfilah shouldn't be barren. So we see that akara is used in the kant tfilah. And therefore what? Now we come back to the Haftorah of this week's Parsha. Roni akara, lo yalada. Roni is a lashon of simcha. Roni akara, why is someone who's barren, why is someone who's struggling to have children, why are they roni, why are they happy? Lo yalada, for not giving birth, perish. Osa tfila, shalonitein lo bakashasa. The tefillah that goes unanswered. This is a very deep level, but it's shaykh to us because sometimes we feel like tefillahs aren't answered. So try to at least understand when your tefillah is not answered, there's a huge opportunity in that. You know what the opportunity is? You get to daven again. You get to find a new way to ask Hashem. that also tefillah shelo nitein lo bakasha, so the tefillah that goes unanswered, so simcha gedola verina gedola. It's a big simcha. You know why? Kamo almanas shelo lekabel pras. It's like the madrega of, I don't want the reward because I'm scared it's going to hurt my relationship with you. And therefore, it's like tefillah la'ani, like the ani who davens, lifnei Hashem yishpoch sicha. Hashem always, let there always be something that we could talk about. The difference between that first date when you're like struggling to make conversation and the person you marry, God willing, who you always want to just talk to, and there's always something to talk about. It's never awkward in the conversation. Ki rabim b'nei shomema mibnei b'ula. As the Pasuk says in the Haftorah, because more are the b'nei shomema, the barren ones, than the b'nei b'ula. What does that mean? Ki hu madrega gedola b'chol pam l'daber im ha-melech. Ki rabim, the greater level is the b'nei shomema, those who don't yet have their answers, more than the women who became pregnant. Meaning the tefillos that go unanswered, Hashem is saying something that about his relationship with you more than the one who he answers. Again, it's a hard concept because we all want our tefillos to be answered. We're about to go into days of prayer, Yomim Noraim, where we daven big fat machzor. But there's a part of us who has to remember that the goal is not just getting what I want. The goal is having a relationship with the Creator of the universe. I know it's late, but I just want to do one more tiny little piece, very, very quickly. Oye Yamer, another pshat. Roni akara lo yalad, it's a related pshat. Ki ram b'nei shomeme b'nei b'ula, amar Hashem. Ki amar adoni avi zakeni zatza. My grandfather explained. Ki kol atfilos osim p'ula b'olamos halyonu. Every tefillah that's davened leaves a mark in the heavens. V'lifamim b'ksei haaretz. And sometimes even down here. Sometimes you daven for something, you actually get it down here. But you should know, says the Baal Shem Tov, that there's no such thing as a tefillah in vain. It's a terrible, terrible attitude for a Jew to think, I davened and what came of it? Nothing came of it. Moshe davened 515 tefillos begging Hashem, v'aschanan el Hashem, to go into Eretz Yisrael, and Hashem said no. But those tefillos worked. Not to get Moshe exactly what he wanted, but those tefillos worked. Those tefillos accomplished. If we had more time, I'd tell you how it accomplished, but it accomplished. V'samach al-pasuk krum zulas livnei adam. The pasuk says, krum zulas livnei adam, the Gemara darshins, Elu dvarim sha'omdim berumo shel olam. It's a Gemara in Brachos. Kerum zulas livnei adam. That there are things that stand at rumo shel olam. There are things that reach the heights of the world. Ubnei adam is zalzalin, the Gemara says, and people treat them scornfully. What does that mean? It's your tefillah. Your tefillah reaches the heights of heaven, but you say, no, my tefillah didn't work. Why? Because you didn't pass the test that you daven that you should get a good grade. So your tefillah didn't work. Kerum zulas livnei adam. There are things that are rumo shel olam, the heights of the universe. Shenasim yizeh dvarim noraim berumo shel olam. It's doing unbelievable things on high. You have no idea. You wanted to pass that test because you didn't want your GPA to go down a little bit. Hashem says, it doesn't matter. You're going to get the job anyways. You have that family connection. Who cares about your GPA? I'm going to take that tefillah. I'm going to give it to a guy who really needs the help. And he's going to be able to get a job and support a family and send his kids to yeshiva because of it. So you're, oh, my tefillah was rejected. And you're complaining to Hashem. What do you mean? Berumo shel olam? That tefillah is helping in a much more significant way. Ubnei adam sovim shalonis kabel tefillasan. And people think, my tefillah didn't work. Right? Again, the drush on the pasuk is kerum zulas. It's mamash berumo shel olam, but zulas. We treat it as cheap. We think bnei adam are mezalzlin behem. So therefore, says the pasuk, and with this we conclude, rani akara lo yalada. Ki rabim b'nei shomema, perish, hatfilos, asher ata sover, shehem shomemim. Those tefillos that you think are barren, that are akara, that are b'nei shomema, the ones that you think didn't produce, right, that they're left void and desolate, you should realize that what? That they're rabim, ki rabim b'nei shomema, the unanswered tefillah actually is rabim, is greater. Osim pu'ulos gedolos yoser, me re'iyascha hagashmis. It's doing much more than your physical eyes allow you to believe. So, Chaver, this is a delicate balance. On the one hand, we have to believe how awesome our tefillahs are and how much our tefillahs are making a difference. And on the other hand, we have to say to ourselves, who cares if it works for me down here? That's not the point of tefillah. The very word tefillah, like the word tefillin, like Shevet Naftali, it all means what? Connection, attachment. The goal of tefillah is to attach yourself to Hashem. It's not about being able to buy a bigger house or a nicer car. Okay, so Mirtz Hashem, we should be zochah. A lot of very important teachings. And again, very much you can see, the Degel Ma'achan Ephraim is definitely writing these with a feeling of El and Rosh Hashanah in his words. And halavai, we should practice what our Rebbe preaches. Okay, shkoyach.